Our brother Steve Valenzisi is to exhort us this morning, and he has asked that we consider Romans 6. Romans 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that for many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are also to walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For if ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. But when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things where you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I ask your attention now to Brother Steve.
First, let me say that we are very happy to be here. This is our first Bible school experience, and so far it seems a great pleasure to be amongst people that some of whom I know have visited us, and some of whom I make the pleasure of greeting for the first time. This morning we read from Romans 6, and here we have an indication of something that we all know, that after baptism we rise to newness of life. Now, the idea is that if this is a new person, then the slate is clean, and the identity with it is also new. And in speaking of that identity, there are three words that we can use that will help us to understand what we are. These three words when combined, are said to represent what we might know of a person. They are character, individuality, and personality. Now, first, character is described as moral qualities, ethical standards, principles, and things of that nature. Individuality is the distinctive quality that makes one recognizable as a person different than others. Personality is a combination of the inward and outward characteristics that determine the impression made on others. Each of us must keep in mind these words because in applying them to ourselves, the different things we learn from the Bible, we will use all three of these words at one time or another. We strive to build character. Note the word build. We are not born with character, if we look at the meaning of the word. As infants and children, we must be taught morality and standards and principles. We know that in our present condition, that is, mortal, the building of character is our only real occupation. We can eat fine foods or common. We can live in a palace or a tent. We can wear silk embroidered with gold or the most ordinary cloth. None of these will alter our final end. And when the body dies, we no longer have need of food, shelter, or raiment. We have, however, a hope of resurrection, and with it the character, and it is resurrected with it, is the character we possess that will endure the long sleep. What happens next depends, of course, on whether or not the character is a good or a bad one. This leads us to the consideration of yet another word, and that word is will. The word is small, but very complicated. There are many ways of using this word, but they all have one thing in common, in that they all indicate volition and controlled action. In exercising our will, we make a choice, a decision, and then follow through with certain actions. These, of course, affect other people. The manner in which we do this brings in the other two parts of the whole, individuality and personality. And just to connect it, I'm speaking in terms of the will, which is part of our character, that helps us to make a choice, and then how we actually put this choice into action brings in individuality and personality. If we are coarse, if we are brutish, we could be right and still be wrong because the impression we make is bad. It is hard to convince other people our thoughts are of the highest order while we present a surly attitude and slovenly appearance. If we continue along this path, we will begin to develop attitudes and actions which, when repeated, become habits. Just as there are habits that are detrimental to our body, there are also habits that are bad for the mind. At this point, it would be well to bring in another meaning of the word character. It is from the old Greek, and it means the engraving tool or its mark, to engrave or inscribe. Character is also linked with name. It is interesting to note that a name is written in the Book of Life, and in Revelation 2:17, we have something interesting there. We read in the 17th verse, "And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." So here we have something that involves a name and an engraving on a stone, which is laid in store for us. But back to the point. The longer we do things by habit, the deeper engraved they become on our character, and the harder they are to change or break. We must break the chains of habit which have their strength and self-will, and we can only accomplish this by exercising the righteous will of God. It is not easy. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7, and that is in the 15th verse, "For that which I do, I allow not, and for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, there is no more I to do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in my flesh, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." That do I. That I do. "Now if I do that that I would not, it is no more I to do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." So here is the Apostle Paul telling us that he found it difficult, but yet it was a necessary thing to constantly fight against this war that was going on in his members. A person, while trying to change their ways, may have great difficulty, and while not intending, can cause offense. How much of this should we allow or tolerate or take, or whatever word you want to use? And we can look at Matthew 18 and find an answer to that question. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. So that it is an innumerable number of times that we must patiently forgive one another. We as a group are proceeding through time on a one-way street. To succumb to laziness is to impair the progress of all. Laziness is self-indulgence or self-will. To try and go in the opposite direction is to create havoc. There are those who would point out shortcuts so they can be leaders, and there are those who would run to follow after them. But we know that the Master warned against such people. We must stay on the road and help each other along, respecting the position of those around us, ready to help with words of encouragement or reprimand, whichever is necessary at the time. We operate as a group, but that does not take away our individuality. If we look at 1 Corinthians 15, we'll see a reference there which might be helpful. In the 41st, well, we can read the 40th also. "There are also celestial bodies and bodies celestial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the celestial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." The idea of being in other places to be the saints are referred to as shining as the stars, and they differ one another from one another in glory, each one according to the ability of his service. If we are successful in this mastery of ourselves, we will enjoy our lives more fully now, and if it be the Lord's will, enjoy the fruit of such efforts later. Back in Revelation 3:14, we have a good summary of some of these words. In the 14th verse, Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy work, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. For then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The idea is very plainly, whichever is more desirable, cold or hot. Certainly lukewarm is not, and a person must be either attempting to improve themselves in one area while having already accomplished an improvement in another, and be in the midst of one, a transition from one to the other. But to be lukewarm is to be indifferent to our position, indifferent to our responsibility. Now, the three words mentioned before, character, individuality, and personality, make up a person. This is the light that shines from us to the world. We recall the expression, so let your light shine before men, so that the Father can be glorified in us, in our actions, to the extent that mortality can reflect this light. At the time that these remarks were put together, we had occasion to go to a town in New Jersey called Franklin, where there used to operate a mine. It's an area where many precious stones were found in time past. And at this point, they have a museum there. And a group of us went through the museum. And at the end of the tour, a number of us were taken into a room where there was a large showcase on which were a number of ordinary-looking chunks of stone on shelves. And when everyone was in the room, the door was closed and the overhead lights were turned off. And then the operator turned on what is called the black light, which is something to do with ultraviolet, the short rays of light. And there before our eyes, these ordinary chunks of stone became alive. They, each one had their own configuration, each one had their own intensity of glow, different colors showed through the different veinings and so on, so that you could look at each one, and there were quite a many there on the shelf, and see how different one was from another in the patterns that were formed by the fluorescent material. And this brought to mind the presentation of First Peter of opposition, as Peter explains it in the second chapter, starting from the first verse to the tenth. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envy and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Before we use the word build, and here we have the word grow. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And this was the startling thing about it. The room was dark, and then on came this ultraviolet, and there were these stones that came alive. And here he says, to him they called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The point of it all is that we have, when we are present from the waters of baptism, an opportunity to start all over again and to build in ourselves that thing which remains to the end, and that is a identity which is pleasing to God, and will be judged by our elder brother Jesus Christ when he returns. And these are the admonitions of both Paul and Peter as to our opportunities and our responsibilities to them.